You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.
Now, the judges for the Woman's Hour Power List are busy considering your nominations, and we're hoping to bring you their decisions by the middle of February. But looking ahead to a new year, who will be the women who are likely to rise to prominence during 2013? Well, Helen Lewis is Deputy Editor of the New Statesman. Emma Barnett is Women's Editor of the Daily Telegraph. Emma, last year the number of women in Cabinet fell to four, with Baroness Varsi merely attending as the fifth. What's likely in 2013?
Well, I don't think Cameron's necessarily going to keep to his pledge of making sure that at least a third of the Cabinet are women by the time he exits, we hope, in 2015. Did I just say that?
But, you didn't say I hope. Cut that, I hope.
We'll cut that. But I think people like Jo Swinson, who's now stepped in to the Women and Equalities Minister under the Women's Minister, Maria Miller, who's facing her own trials and tribulations at the moment with her expenses, she's quite a good thing for women out there. She's campaigned very vociferously about body image, and I think she's very encouraging. And then on the other side, you have people like Rachel Reeves and Stella Creasy, who I also find extremely important in terms of being role models and not afraid to put their head above the parapet on important issues, and not just women's issues. I think that's quite crucial.
Helen, which female politicians are you tipping for greater things?
Well, I would agree about Stella Creasy, who's the Labour MP for Walthamstow. This is the year of 1 billion rising, Eve Ensler's campaign about violence against women, and Stella Creasy has definitely been a big proponent of that, and I think I'm slightly worried that there might be dancing in Westminster, which is a terrifying prospect, but it might bring some attention to the issue, which would be good. And actually, although I think things at Cabinet and junior minister level are very bad still, at the lower levels there are lots of MPs. I would say Priti Patel, I know, is one of your judges. Liz Kendall in Labour, Liz Truss in the Tories. There are good, you know, young and middle-aged women who are kind of coming through now. And actually, there are starting to be working mothers. There are only four working mothers in government at the moment, but Rachel Reeves, her baby's due in March, and she will be, I hope, a big advocate about the financial side of what it means to be a mother.
Now, as far as business is concerned, Emma, lots of women have now moved into non-executive director positions on boards, but a number of high-profile chief execs have stood down from the FTSE companies. Who's waiting in the wings for business?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to... first of all, someone who's still there, Moya Green, who's the Royal Mail chief executive, she's got a very difficult year ahead. Although she's actually seen operating profits sort of rise in the last financial report, she will potentially be the person and the woman in charge if the Royal Mail floats, or if it potentially gets sold off or privatised in any way. So she's also going to have to preside over a number of redundancies. So she's definitely a woman at the top who's going to be in the fiery line, having a huge amount of power and influence. We also saw the exit of Kate Swan, who's leaving WH Smith as chief executive. She's tipped for brilliant things. She'll get another big role, and that will be extremely important, I think, because, you know, with the exodus of her and Marjorie Scardino from the helm of Pearson, it hasn't been the most encouraging year in business. But the other person I wanted to mention was Laura Wade Geary, who's Marks & Spencer's director of e-commerce, because she did very well at Tesco. She basically brought Tesco into the internet age, which was incredibly important. And if at the moment Mark Bolland, who's the current chief executive, doesn't continue to try and stem some of the declines at M&S, she's being tipped as the internal one to potentially take his role.
Now, Helen, the editorship of The Times is coming up. How likely is that to be a woman?
Well, one of the contenders, I would say, is Nicola Gill, who's currently the Saturday editor of the paper. That would be first female editor of The Times, and of the editors in Fleet Street at the moment, we have Sarah Sands at the Evening Standard and Dawn Neesom at The Star, but generally it is a bit of a boys' club. So that would make a big change there. She's known as being a great production editor. She was formerly at The Observer, where she launched Observer Woman magazine and worked on Observer Food magazine. So she's definitely got an eye. The Times have got a great stable of columnists that she works with at weekend. So, I think she would be an interesting choice, and one who would win it purely on merit, and I would be very happy to see her.
And how significant is Joanna Shields' appointment to the government's tech city. Yes. And what will she actually do?
Well, that is what I would also love to know. I mean, Joanna Shields is this brilliant sort of American businesswoman. She's made her name at Google, then she moved off to Bebo, the failing social network, but then moved to the best social network, Facebook, where she's just left. And she always leaves when she can cash out at the best moment. So she's sort of like a smiling assassin in the technology world. And she is brilliant at marketing. And that's what I think the tech city has been lacking. We're trying to rival San Francisco. We're trying to create some kind of Silicon Valley in East London. So I think her marketing needs to be good. But the other thing that she's very passionate about, which I think is really interesting, is getting coding into the national curriculum. In America, where her son used to be at school, she now lives in Britain, he would have been taught to code by now and would be able to create, write websites. So create the next Facebook, for instance. And she thinks that's an incredible economic opportunity that Britain is missing out on, that our technology classes are still sort of how to word process. So she's quite good, I think, on the education and on the marketing side, because it's a bit of a hipster club. You go to East London, I'm sure you go there all the time, Jenny, and you see these people doing all this stuff and you don't really know what's going on. So I think her job is to open it up to the rest of the UK and sell Britain as a technology player.
How optimistic, Helen, are you for women in the art?
Very, actually. So we've got two big things that are happening in early January. First of all, we've got the second series of Girls, which is Lena Dunham's HBO show. Then on January the 13th, we've got Tina Fey and Amy Poehler hosting the Golden Globes, the first time women have ever hosted it. And I think what's interesting about both of those sets of people is that they're creators. They own their image on their shows. So you're not just getting, well, here is quite a good role for an actress and she's lucky to have it, but here is somebody who is creating great roles for women and playing them. So I'm actually more optimistic than usual. I think the new Doctor Who companion in Britain is really good. She's kind of active, she's very clever. Lots of, I'm sure, little girls will be role-playing as her in the playgrounds, and I think she's a fantastic role model.
The Duchess of Cambridge will produce a baby this year. How much is she going to dominate the female agenda?
I think, as sad as it will make Helen, I am probably you, Jenny, she's going to dominate a lot. It's a great year for womb watchers, as I like to call them. I've read that we call them, because it's still of unbelievable fascination that women give birth, especially women in the public eye. And just to lower the tone, you know, Kim Kardashian, the reality TV star, she's just announced that she's pregnant with Kanye West, and there's extreme fascination. But it is the most, what I would say is, you know, it's the most hotly anticipated royal baby since William. So I do think, you know, there's a difference attached to it. And the thing I would say is this baby will be able to inherit the throne regardless of gender.
So that's okay, Helen. She might be queen if it's a girl.
Well, I think it's just terrible, isn't it, that one of our most prominent women that will be more front pages this year than probably any other is somebody who is purely valued for her reproductive ability. And, you know, I'm sure that makes me a terrible old Grinch, but that's my New Year message, I'm afraid.
You terrible old Grinch, Helen Lewis. I know about it. Thank you both very much indeed for being with us.
You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.